perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. It is a pleasure to be with you today, no matter how you're listening to us, whether it is on Breadbox Media, on Evangelism Radio, or right here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Today, my guest is Dan Gilligan. He is a husband and married to his wife, Erin, for 15 years, the father of three amazing kids, 8, 6, and 4, two boys and a girl. The girl believes she's 17 years old. And Dan has been working with the Financial Fitness Program as a speaker, coach, and teacher. He's been involved in the leadership development for the profession for a little bit over 10 years. He originally used the platform to pay off over $325,000 in debt after the recession of 2008 that it caused. But the program was able to help him navigate all of that because of the work he has been spending and doing to work with his family his whole life to help them live financially free and begin the life that they've always wanted to have and to love. So, Dan, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being here today to talk about finances and faith.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. This will be a lot of fun. I look forward to it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your personal journey of faith and how you ended up, almost $500,000 in debt.
Those are two not so connected things, but end up, they don't look like they should be together, but they are. So I was actually raised in a house where Jesus was preached, where the Bible was a mainstay. It was prevalent. So I kind of grew up in a house where we went to church and we knew what we were supposed to do and during that whole process and journey. And so I kind of just followed exactly what I was supposed to do. You know, it was interesting. I went to school. I was raised. I went to high school, got good grades, went to college. And in college, it was great because I started to be able to kind of like everybody. You know, I was raised in my parents' faith early. And then I was raised on my own. And so I had to figure out kind of what that meant to me, what it looked like, how that fit in, all those kind of things. Built a good foundation in college, thought that I kind of had life going the direction that I wanted it to go, graduated college, and then honestly, during the early 2000s, did everything that I was told to do. So little things like I started a company. We bought a house right away that, you know, because everyone said, oh, best investment you could ever make, never goes down in value, those kind of things. College debt. And so they all kind of ran together to where I thought I was following everything that I was supposed to be doing. And then once the economy turned, it seemed like overnight everything turned. And so my journey, my faith journey, I was raised in a Christian house. I had a great foundation and base. I built it on my own in college and then did what I was supposed to do, I thought. And so we got in trouble.
Yeah. What is the faith, you know, what does the Christian faith teach about finances? Because, you know, I'm not one that, you know, has spent a lot of time reading about finances in the Bible. Of course, I know, you know, Jesus says, give unto Caesar what is due to Caesar. He says, that we should pay our taxes, we should do these things. But what does the Bible talk about? What are the biblical principles of faith? Because I don't think, you know, that churches and places often talk about that a whole lot. And they obviously ask you to donate money to them. I mean, a lot of, especially the Catholic Church, right? A lot of places say, "Oh, donate this money to this fundraiser. God needs your money." But when it comes to living financially free, they don't really talk about that a whole lot. So what are the biblical principles of faith, and finance?
I think that's a great question. And the reason I do is because, honestly, money is such a weird topic, primarily because most of us don't understand it. And from either a faith perspective or a human perspective, it really doesn't matter. money is, you know, it kind of comes into three categories. And if you read through the Bible, you'll understand that the Bible very clearly, it's outside of salvation, money is the single most talked about topic throughout the Bible. For that very reason. And part of it is because money falls into one of three categories. It either falls into, and really it looks at your worldview of it. Your worldview of money is either A, money is a master, which means that we build our day, we build our time, we build our stuff around money because we need it. So, you know, we get ourselves in debt. We get ourselves in a position where money is consistently working against. And this is kind of where the whole category of, like, it's harder for the rich man, you know, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to fit in the eye of a needle. Like, when money runs our life, it becomes our obsession. It becomes how we look through things. It also falls into money as a mystery. Like, and I think this is probably where 80% of the church falls into, money just being a plain old mystery. Like, we don't really understand it. We know we need it. We know it's supposed to work for us. We know we're commanded to manage it well, but we don't really understand the whole game around it. And then finally, money as a slave, which means that we're living a life of priority. We're living life the way that we're commanded in the Bible, and we're using money as a tool, and the money is going out from us to be a blessing to those around us, regardless of whether it's $10 or hundreds of thousands of dollars. It either falls into one of those three categories, and most people have not seen that as a focus.
No, it's something that I really have never heard of before, and I think a lot of people out there in today's society, a lot of young people out there in today's society, who just expect there constantly to be this lifestyle that they're living. I mean, think about the things that we're consuming and we have just to produce a radio show like this. We need iPhones and we need technology, audio boards and microphones. You know, if there's things that we need, right? And then there's things that we want, and we can't always have the things that we want and the things, and we have to focus on the things that we need. And really, when it comes down to it, we begin to realize how little we actually need, right? Because the gospel in the Bible says, you know, don't worry about, you know, all these things, or don't worry about the food you're going to put on the table. I'm going to be able to provide it. You know, the sparrows have this. So if the sparrows have this, well, then I guess you will have this too. You know, how much more does the
yep.
Father love you? So when you see this kind of thing, it's very countercultural, right? This is a countercultural approach to finance, where the world is saying you need to have all of this, but it's not necessarily the truth, right? There's a difference between need and want.
That's right. So the money that we need on a day-to-day basis versus the money that we want, and you know, it's kind of a juxtaposition there, because in my opinion, and kind of the way that, you know, when you start viewing money as a slave, you look at money through the position of God has laid the desires on your heart, whatever those happen to be. And the way that we look at it is God uses those desires, and God uses those longings and those wants to have a bigger life. So if you believe that you were designed to do something great, odds are it's going to take a lot of money to do that. However, if you view money through money as a slave, what you're saying is God's using those desires of your heart to shape you and mold you into the man or woman that he has designed you to be in order to handle that. That does not mean go out and chase money. What it means is pursue what you were meant to be called to do and what was great, and find an avenue or something that'll be able to do that. The other side is God will take care of us wherever we are. And so if money is our master, what happens is even the littlest can become worrisome. And so, you know, whether it's a $100,000 house, which doesn't sound like very much, $85,000, doesn't matter. If we're beginning to live above our means and we're starting to chase after more without really a proper understanding of what that's supposed to do just for more sake or because we like it, what happens is we put ourselves in a position where money starts to rule our heart. Now, we don't think so. But if we were to look back through our time, where we spend it, how much time do we spend at work? How much time do we spend chasing down money or the pursuit of a dollar versus the time that we're spent doing all of the things that are on our heart to be able to chase it down, that we know that we are put here to solve in the world. Because, I mean, we believe, and I believe wholeheartedly, that the things that pain you, like when you look out at the world and you see pain, whether it's human trafficking or whether it's versions of slavery all over the United States or whether it's debt or whether it's churches not, you know, closing at record numbers all over the place, whether it is families being broken up and divorced or whether it's kids in orphanages and foster care that need to be taken care of, whatever those pains are, we believe, I believe, that you were probably put here to solve that at some level. And so our resources and our time should be spent solving those things. But if we don't take money off the table as something that we understand, we're always going to be slave to it instead.
Yeah, it sounds so this sounds so practical. There's a lot of practical wisdom in what you're saying. And I totally believe that this conversation can help so many people out there who are living a life that and they're really trying. I mean, they're good people. They're really trying. I mean, I think there's so many people out there that are really trying and really doing what the Lord wants them to do. But there's that one piece that they could be doing so much more with their effort if they just understood money. And understood how Jesus wants us to live it.
Yep, and we actually call it living lives of quiet desperation. The ability to say, I know that I was built for more than what I'm doing, but I don't know how to get there. And I don't even have an avenue or a way to get started to be able to figure it out or a group of people to be around. And so we just settle for, I guess this is it.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we want people reaching for more. We want people empowered to spread the gospel, and money can help people do that when they are in control of their money. And as you say, money is a slave to them; they are not a slave to money. So that is a huge and wonderful point, Dan. We're going to take a short break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk all about the financial fitness program. And really how people can get, how you got involved with it, but then how other people can get involved with it, because it has done a wonderful thing in your life, and I believe it can do a wonderful thing in many, many, many more lives. So we'll be right back after this here on Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder.
The Contemplative Stations of the Cross audio devotional is now available from Patchwork Heart Ministry. This devotional features an introduction and overview of the theology, history, and spirituality of the Stations of the Cross by Father Bill Zimmer, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, along with an audio version of the Contemplative Stations of the Cross led by author Bill Snyder, and the Stabat Mater, chanted in Latin by Marissa Ellison. CDs are $7.99, and digital downloads are only $3.99. Copies may be purchased by visiting patchworkheart.org or calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it. by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe. Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back here to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder. Today, we're talking faith and financial fitness with Dan Gilligan. And Dan, we were talking all about faith and financial wellness in the Bible and how that really relates and whatnot in the first half of the program. So if you did miss it, go back and rewind the podcast episode here and listen to all about how Jesus wants us to live our lives abundantly and spread the gospel as a as money as our slave. But Dan, I want to find out, because you're working with this financial fitness program and you're a speaker, coach, and teacher, and is there a way that you were attracted to this program because at the you had your own struggles with money, your own issues, and you this program worked for you. So tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So my involvement started I found the founder of this company probably 10, 15 years ago. And actually, we started as a leadership development company. And what we found over an amount of time very quickly was that people said, yeah, leadership development is amazing. I want a better family. I want a better house. I want a better all of these things. Like we were founded under the idea of 8 F's. So a whole person, faith, family, finance, fun, fitness, following, friendship, freedom. Like we were founded under that idea. And what we discovered very quickly is that the world's immediate need. And so, the interesting thing that attracted me the most to this is that I never felt myself as an evangelist. I never felt as like my calling is to go out and preach the word. Even though in everything we do, the Bible has said, that's your job. But I never felt I always felt like I screwed it up. Like I was terrible at it. Like, I always had the wrong thing to say at the wrong time. And then finally it was like, but Jesus. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I never felt like that was my calling. However, through my own life struggles of things that I had been through, so, like I kind of alluded to it earlier, we felt like we had done everything right. And yet, things that were outside of our control, 100% outside of our control, we got walked through the economy and got put through the ringer and came out of it the other side just a mess. And so when we ran into this financial fitness pet, what attracted me the most was it wasn't just a way to say, and I don't want to disparage any other program out there, because I know there's a lot of great programs out there that work for different people. And so I don't want to take anything away from that. But when I saw this program, what I understood was it taught the whole of it. It taught finances going up as the opposite side of plugging the holes in my bucket. And so reducing and eliminating our debt. And so we started the hard work of going after and say, okay, we're paying off debt, but we're paying off debt because we know that that's going to start to lead to more going in on the offensive category. So we have 47 principles that we teach at the beginning through the beginning program part of the book. And then we teach the offense, the defense, and the playing field. And so, like in any other sport, in any sport in the planet, if you don't know the rules of the game, and the things that you're up against, or what the little white lines on the field are for, or, what kind of ball we're using, or are we allowed to go back? If we don't know those rules, then no matter what happens, the game is stacked against us permanently. You know, if I want to play American football rules in Europe on a soccer pitch, we're going to be playing two different games, even though we're saying the same word.
Right. Right.
And so finance is a lot the same. And so we first teach the defense and say, okay, the goal is to fill the bucket up, but there's no way, no matter how much money is coming in, and if, and we say this every time that I teach this, is that if, you know, if you make $100,000 a year or $10,000 a year, if you spend above what you make, you're broke and you're drowning. Now, it's at a different level, and the lifestyle might look a little bit different, but the pain is still always the same. And if the goal is to fill the bucket, then all we're looking at is people who make more money probably just have bigger holes, bigger car payments, bigger mortgages, bigger credit cards, bigger stuff out there, and they look that way, but the desperation is still the same. And so no matter what it is, the principle works as a principle. And yeah. So we teach the defense to say, let's figure out how to close up all these holes, like wherever it is. And you know, it's amazing that within a month, even 2 months, our averages that we can find for a lot of things are between $200 and $500 a month, where people just have money going out that they didn't even know was going out, or they didn't understand was working against them. And so everything else then builds from there. We can teach offense, but I won't teach somebody offense until we understand the defense.
Well, that's what they say, right? Defense wins good championships, right? I mean, defense wins championships.
Yep, but if you don't score, it's awfully hard to do it consistently.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if we, and I don't want to pick on any teams, but like a perfect example is, you know, look at the St. Louis Rams, right? I mean, they would, you know, from early 2000s where, you know, they'd score 50, 60, 70 points in the game, but they'd also give up 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 points in a game too. But then you look at the Chicago Bears over that same stretch of time, they might win a game 4-2. I mean, I'm being a little facetious, I understand, but like their defense was complete lockdown, and yet they still struggled to win a championship because they had no lead quarterback, somebody who ran the show, right? You know, it was just a different game. I understand anytime you touch sports, you're, you know, prodding the bear here. I'm not trying to do that. It's absolutely an example. I can use 50 others, but they're the most prevalent.
Right, and that's it's a beautiful thing because, you know, a lot of people can relate to sports. A lot of people can, you know, understand that, especially a lot of young adults. A lot of young adult guys enjoy watching, you know, sports. So with that being said, you know, you look at that, and as you say, you know, it takes a both. It's a balance of both. You know, so I mean, I don't want to give away all the trade secrets here because it's not a right to do that. But the idea behind this is for you to be able to kind of show people this model, and I think it makes a ton of sense. I mean, this is so practical, and people can hear this. But how hard is it to really implement? You know, there's this book out there. It's great. Okay. There's this, you know, the CDs and all these different things, these resources that they have that you have. But how hard is it to implement? Does it, you know, it actually takes work to do this, right? I mean, this isn't like, okay, you know, read this book and, you know, magic fix. We're not talking about a magic fix thing here, right?
Yeah. So this is definitely not like the tooth fairy. Like, you know, you're not going to buy this green box. We call it a green box because it's in a green box. But you're not going to buy the green box, the financial fitness program, stuff it under your pillow, go to sleep, and your desk gone. Like, it doesn't work like that, right? Like, this is going to have to get work. But, you know, for us, you know, there's the program, when you begin the program, starts with a book, CDs, audios, videos, a workbook, the ability to do it. And so anybody can do this on their own if they choose to. And that's awesome. And the program is very, very, very simple, very, very practical. We believe, however, that our lives are meant to live in community, and we've discovered that everything is better in community. And so our game-changing component is the community side of what we do. And the reason we do that is because, you know, we were always raised on, you know, don't hang out with so-and-so, because if you hang out with so-and-so, eventually the things they're doing are going to get them in trouble. And even if you didn't do something wrong, you're going to get caught up in that too, and you're probably going to be fined, arrested, gotten any of the things that happens because of that, right?
Right.
And no, be careful if nobody ever told you don't hang out with so-and-so, you might be so-and-so. I'm just kidding. but we believe the opposite is true also, which means if you're hanging around and learning from people who are consistently making or on a growing scale making better financial decisions, then what's happening is by default, you're beginning to make better financial decisions. You're in it with it. You realize you're not alone. You're not the oddball where everyone else is going out and buying new cars and expanding their house and doing all these things. You're saying, no, I'm living my purpose, and the first part of my purpose is to get out of debt, is to get my life back to where what we would call the financial literacy net. That, you know, if we're going to expand and go out, we want to lay a foundation that no matter what, if things change, we can get caught first. Like we have a soft landing place. And so we start there. We start the financial literacy net, and then the ability to go out from there. So our community changes everything. But the whole program can be done on your own if you choose to. It's a green box, and you can just start and move from there. It's really simple and straightforward.
Awesome. So, you know, but before we run out of time here, Dan, I want to make sure that our listeners know where to go to find out more information about this program, because, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going, hey, you know what, this makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense for me. It makes a lot of sense for my family to just take a look at it and figure out exactly how best I can become financially fit. And even if you are feeling that you are in a great shape financially, it never hurts to understand the game, right? It never hurts to understand the game more, right? You know, and so there may be some people that feel, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm not in debt. I'm doing okay. I've got these things going on. I'm doing all right. But, you know, but it never hurts to understand the game. So how do people get in touch with you? How do people learn more about this program?
Well, honestly, they can either A, just get in touch with me directly. Call my cell phone or send me an email. My email is dgilly10@yahoo.com. So DGILLY. The number 10, so 10@yahoo.com. Or honestly, just shoot me an email, ask me any questions you want, great. Or give me a call. I mean, call my cell phone. I'll always get back to you. Let me know how you heard about it. But 630-542-3327. And if you're the researching type and you like to go online and you start looking at stuff, we have our website is financialfitnessinfo.com. Again, that's financialfitnessinfo.com. If you go there and you said, hey, this program looks great, you decided to do it, just let them know where you heard it. Let them know that, hey, I heard this guy named Dan on the podcast. And, you know, if you send an email or anything like that, just let them know. And they'll be able to get in touch with me. They'll connect you right with me, and we'll figure it out from there.
Awesome. Dan, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today and really being able to break down this stuff. It's so important. I might ask you just for one tip for listeners out there that are struggling in finances, other than contacting you here, what is one tip that you can give them to become take that first step to being financially free?
The number one thing that I tell everybody, and I want this to be heard correctly, is your finances are not that special that you're alone. I've seen everything. I've been through everything. I understand that, you know, you have probably, in your opinion, the most confusing, worst situation possible, and you don't know if there's any help. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what situation you're in, you're not alone. You're not the only one. Everyone else is struggling in a different way, and we're here to help. Oh. I'm telling you that it's not that bad, and awesome. It can be fixed, and you can get out of it, and you can live the life you've always wanted to live.
Awesome, Dan. Well, thank you so much. This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest, visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.